In Washington, there are some discussions about Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and his stance on cooperation or not with ICE, which is the or part of the federal government that is out in the process of deporting illegal aliens who are here, in this case, in our region.
There is a sharp disagreement between President Trump and several Democratic leaders around the country, some of them more notably in places like Illinois, saying very much the same things that you're hearing coming from Mayor Ed Gainey, who was making remarks yesterday about the immigration policy at the Pennsylvania Press Club gathering in Harrisburg. So we're going to be going to hopefully find his comments and pass them along in his own voice rather than me reading them back. But what he's basically saying is that if ICE is going to be here and they're going to be finding people and trying to deport them, or move them along in whatever appropriate way they feel, he's not going to participate in that. The city's not going to play a role in that.
He also made news discussing zoning changes in the city. And we're going to get into the details of that here in the next half hour after the news at 6:30. Because it's got some people saying, wait a minute, you're going to lower property values with these zoning law changes.
Yeah, I think I could best explain it briefly by saying that one of the proposals would require developers in the city limits to make a portion of their new housing developments affordable everywhere.
Right, and the pushback is from especially neighborhoods that are more affluent, they don't want it.
The other proposal would not require a developer to include affordable housing, allowing them to opt in for incentives. So, now, the Planning Commission will be meeting on this today, and we hope to have more on that for our audience as well a little bit later after you and I get done outlining it in greater detail.
And we'll get into more of the details. The other thing people are discussing is the state of the Steelers. Art Rooney II, Steelers president and majority owner, talked yesterday about what the Steelers need to do to get better. And one of the questions I thought was interesting, apparently, I didn't know the Steelers don't have as many coaches. I mean, all these NFL teams have big staffs. Apparently, the Steelers staff isn't as large as most other NFL teams.
This is something that's been coming up recently, the last few weeks. I hadn't ever heard this said before.
Do you need more cooks in the kitchen? They asked Art Rooney that question.
I just don't see that holding us back. I don't think that's our problem. I wouldn't dismiss anything, other than maybe bigger coaching staff. Not sure that that's the answer. Our coaching staff has grown, and the size of staffs have continued to grow around the league. I don't think we're an outlier as far as that's concerned. On the analytics side, we have invested on that side. We've got more people in that department than we ever had, but. We look at opportunities and technology changes, and so there are opportunities to sort of give ourselves better resources on that front. Certainly look at it.
And Art Rooney spoke for about 20 minutes and gave a pretty comprehensive outline.
Yeah, it was very much what we usually hear from Art Rooney II after a season, very much the same measured tone. It doesn't appear that there's going to be much in the way of change, at least right now.
And people were asking, well, of course he's disappointed in the outcome.
Sure.
We just have to keep building a strong roster. I mean, we got to play the cream of the crop there at there's that three-game stretch, the Christmas tournament, if you will. We played the best teams in the league, and obviously we could see we're not there. And so, we need to do what we need to do to take that next step. Like I said, I think we still have strengths that we can build on to get there. Quarterback position is a key piece of the puzzle that needs to be addressed. And so that's probably number one.
There's a lot of green between here and the draft in April. And then, of course, you go to summer camp. So it's going to be a long journey. But I know they got to figure out the quarterback situation one way or another, because
It all comes down to that, doesn't it? I mean, when you look at the teams that are competing routinely at the top of the heap, they all have that one thing in common, the difference maker, a quarterback. The Steelers used to have one named Ben Roethlisberger, and the plan to replace him just didn't pan out.
And think about it. The Steelers played the teams that are playing in the Super Bowl.
Top five quarterbacks.
Both Kansas City Steelers, obviously, on Christmas Day here. They played Philadelphia. So those are the two top teams. And they also lost to Baltimore, who was a big playoff game. They lost to them twice.
I mean, Lamar Jackson is a legitimate candidate for MVP.
You know what's crazy is the Steelers beat Baltimore with five field goals early in the season. So how close are they? When I went back and looked at, you know, the last series of games, you know, while they lost them all, there were moments that could have been game changers, and then all of a sudden it gets away from you.
Oh, that's so true. You know, I was watching the highlights again of Washington and Philadelphia over the weekend, and I know the score was really lopsided at the end, but if you go back and look at it, the Commanders were competitive pretty much through the majority of the game. In the first half, it was a pretty close game.
Yeah, but when you turn the ball over four times to a team as good as Philadelphia, right, and they end up scoring the maximum 28 points off of those four turnovers, mm-hmm, you lose.
Yeah.
You're going to lose.
And I see now, having watched the Eagles a second time, just the highlight package, that, boy, the Chiefs are going to have a lot on there. I know the Chiefs have a good defense, but have they had to face a running back of the caliber of Saquon Barkley this year? I don't think so.
Well, Derrick Henry with Baltimore was just terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran all over everybody.
Yeah.
And keep in mind,
that's true,
they kind of booted him out from he was a free agent. And then Saquon Barkley, they booted him out.
Can you believe
York,
the two
the Giants,
teams could be that dumb?
The Giants staff right now has got to be going, what did we do?
There's
Look at this guy.
There's a video clip of Mr. Mara, the owner of the Giants, telling the people in his organization, please, whatever happens, don't allow this guy to wind up playing for Philadelphia. And that's exactly what happened.
Sorry. A final footnote, Art Rooney was asked about George Pickens, who is an extraordinarily talented athlete, but has lent himself to some troublesome behavior.
You know, I think the wide receiver room is an area we've got to look at improving. And, you know, look, George is a very talented player who has room to grow. And we'd like to see him grow. And you know, hopefully he realizes the potential that he has. But there's definitely room for growth there.
You know, you're very diplomatic about what you say in terms of George Pickens' behavior. They're stuck with him, basically, when you get right down to it. And I guess if I were in their position, I guess I would take the same approach. I would try to do the best I could with him, but realizing that he's a problem child.
He's a talent, but he's, you know, got some maturity issues.
Yep.
So hopefully he can grow, as Art Rooney says. Playoffs. Yeah, I want to go back to the playoffs.
They just don't have another wide receiver of his caliber, the ability that he has.
Then go get one.
They've got to do that because we don't know how it's going to work out with this guy next year.
We shall see. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. And we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and a whole lot more. And we didn't have to go to the KDK Radio Storm Center today yet. But when we do, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh Demand, the Yellow Van, and Butler Transit Authority. In the meantime, we continue to follow as these first days of President Donald Trump's second term continue to roll out. For the latest, CBS's Jared Hill.
President Donald Trump is continuing his fast and wide-ranging overhaul of the federal government and American culture.
New this morning, a freeze on nearly all federal financial assistance just hours away. Sources tell CBS News an internal memo from the White House calls for a pause on grants and loans reviewed to ensure they align with Trump administration priorities. The Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, wrote it's jeopardizing billions upon billions of community grants and financial support that help millions of people across the country. Monday, President Donald Trump signed a slew of executive orders focused on the military, reinstating with back pay thousands of service members discharged for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine, directing the Pentagon to determine a policy for transgender troops within the month. In the meantime, reinstating a ban he first ordered in 2017 and banning race and sex-based preferences. Trump speaking at a House GOP retreat at his resort in South Florida.
We will stop our service members from being indoctrinated with radical left ideologies.
Another order calls for the creation of a U.S. Iron Dome similar to Israel's missile defense system.
We protect other countries, but we don't protect ourselves.
He also claimed victory in the thwarted trade war with Colombia after the White House says the country caved to demands they accept U.S. military deportation flights.
America is respected again.
Hundreds of undocumented migrants have been arrested over the past few days.
There's a lot of anxiety and kind of living this uncertainty.
The White House has also closed the door to hundreds of asylum seekers hoping to come into the U.S. legally.
That COVID vaccine mandate was rescinded in early 2023. About 8,000 or so service members were kicked out of the military because of this. Only about 110 came back once that was lifted. Well, also, that order pausing federal aid is set to go into effect at 5 p.m. Eastern. The question will be, what types of programs are going to be impacted?
CBS is Jared Hill. So a lot of people will be interested in the pause of the grant monies. Obviously, if you're directly affected by that and you're not going to be receiving money for whatever grants you were expecting. So we'll get our arms around that because apparently it's pretty widespread.
Yes, and I will have what I can that's new on that at 6:30. Looking forward right now.
At a Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee meeting is scheduled today on the Panama Canal. The hearing is entitled Examining the Panama Canal and Its Impact on U.S. Trade and National Security. And you heard President Trump say we should take the Panama Canal back. Jimmy Carter signed, you know, the deal that eventually turned over the Panama Canal to Panama. But they're suggesting, Trump's suggesting that it's run by China. So we'll see. In Greenland, is this subject comes up. So if people think, oh, he's just saying that, apparently, no. They're making a real effort to look at finding a way to make Greenland part of U.S. territories.
Well, if not that, at least to have access to the important metals that they're after. That's the whole point here.
Ah, see, that's the part you have to dig down a little deeper.
United States has had a military installation at Thule in Greenland for decades. So we have a presence there, but the island is mostly uninhabited. It's just around the coastlines where you'll find, you know, any kind of civilization at all. You know, getting in there and getting a hold of the precious metals that were, you know, looking for is going to be no small feat.
Well, therein lies the interest in Greenland.
And there has been some response from Denmark that's been positive along the lines of some type of cooperation to do that.
What do they want? Cut them a check, right? We'll see.
More than likely.
All right. Also coming up, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey spoke in Harrisburg yesterday and what he had to say about immigration and what he also had to say about zoning in the city. Has a lot of people talking. We'll get into the details of that right after the news here, coming up at 6:30. And a new study finds that your looks may actually determine whether or not you get promoted at work. Researchers followed 43,000 people for 15 years after they got out of college. They found attractive people, and I'm curious who made that determination, were 52% more likely to land a better position and a raise at their jobs than people who aren't so fetching. The average salary bump is more than $2,500 if you're a good looker. at work. And again, who determines who's good looking or not? But let's be honest, anecdotally, in your lifetime, you have seen, I'm guessing, this happen from time to time.
Although, on the other hand, I've worked with some very attractive people who didn't get ahead because of their performance.
Yeah, because they didn't actually do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've seen the reverse.
Yeah.
Where somebody good looking maybe got a position, you're like, how did they get that? Not here, of course. We are right. I don't know how to frame this
It's the radio thing.
Yeah, right.
I started out in television like you did, pretty much. And I like the anonymity of, you know, not being, except for lately now, I've got this camera.
Right. Now you're on the stream.
Here in my little booth.
You can't hide anymore.
No, can't
Aaron,
do that.
Have you ever noticed good looking people getting positions and raises ahead of others? Well, you're just fairly fresh out of college, right?
Yeah, I would say pretty. You guys discussing pretty privilege?
Pretty privilege.
Hey, that's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah. That's definitely what it's called, pretty privilege. And it does exist.
It does. Yep.
Yeah.
Just to be real, you know? But yeah, I've seen it.
I realized when I did the Distinguished Alumni event for my alma mater, North Allegheny, last Thursday, and I was looking at the resumes of these people, and it's unbelievable what they're doing, right? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing the same thing I did in high school, which was morning announcements. but no pretty privilege.
So what did that include exactly? Like what's on the daily menu in the cafeteria, kind of thing?
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Or like calling kids if they have early dismissal.
We're having city chicken. In the cafeteria.
School pizza, right?
I'm doing the same thing. School pizza was like glue.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't.
Our school pizza was good.
Yeah. I don't remember ever enjoying it. Your man, Paul Rasmussen. And yesterday, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey spoke in Harrisburg to a group of leaders there to talk about what his game plan is here, in part. And we talked about the headline, of course, is he is rejecting cooperation with ICE and the immigration issues that the president has obviously rolled out in deportations and arrests that are underway in many cities. And then also talked about the issue of housing. And let me just share a portion of that with you first, Paul, and we can get into the details and why there's a big pushback when it comes to the zoning question.
We leveraged over $36 million of our federal ARPA support to create or preserve affordable housing units, issued the first ever affordable housing bond to bring an additional $30 million of investments towards closing our affordable housing deficit. We've also secured an historic 12 low-income housing tax credit awards over the past two rounds. Embarking on the city's second choice neighborhood partnership with HUD to be able to reinvest in our Bedford dwellings. We continue to successfully support programs like our Housing Opportunity Fund. Through these efforts, we have made critical investments in our neighborhood and changed the lives of everyday Pittsburghers. Over the past 3 years, there are over 1,000 units of affordable housing completed or under construction, with nearly another 1,000 in the pipeline. We've invested in communities that had not seen investment, like Hazelwood, the historic Hill District, and Allentown that has not seen investments in years. We have also created generational wealth for families who have historically been shut out of the housing market, but for the first time, we have put 150 first-time low-income homeowners like Anna Wright and Danny Ritchie into homes. Low-income renters into low-income homeowners. That's what you call establishing generational wealth and growth. And our efforts didn't stop at funding. We're fighting for legislation to change the way we're building housing in our city by removing outdated legislation that stands in the way of new construction and by also increasing housing in our community by expanding inclusionary zoning citywide, which will fulfill the vision laid out 8 years ago. All of this work built towards our work to launch the city's first ever comprehensive plan in over 200 years, Pittsburgh 2050, to establish a community-driven vision for the next quarter century of our city.
Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in Harrisburg yesterday. The money shot in that, if you will, is about changing zoning, and that's what a lot of people are focused on. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, now, there's another side to this. City Councilmember Bob Charland has also an agenda regarding affordable housing that's very much in what they would call a contrast, I guess, with Mayor Ed Gainey's zoning expansion efforts. This is the inclusionary zoning that he's talking about. So let's get into the numbers here real quickly. The mayor's proposal would require 10% of the units in new buildings to be affordable to people at 50% of the area median income. Charland's bill would raise the affordability ceiling to 120% of the AMI. And now the Planning Commission is going to have to consider both. And that's happening today.
Right. That's why this is so important. So the suggestion for other people is if they change the zoning with these new requirements or allowances, however you look at it, that some people fear it will lower their value, their home values in certain neighborhoods. So this will be, it's a big deal for a lot of people. It'll be interesting to follow in the Planning Commission. And there has been a circular sent around that Marty Griffin got a hold of yesterday and posted on social media, kind of alerting people in the city that this is being discussed. So for people that want to put their two cents in. So that's kind of the heart of that part of the story.
There's really not a person in the city of the city limits of Pittsburgh that's not affected by this discussion today.
Correct.
Really not.
And then, of course, overall, making national news by saying publicly that he's not cooperating with ICE in the efforts to deport people here.
And similar comments are being made by mayors in other cities, including, I think, Boston, Chicago, etc.
So we will keep you posted on the outcome of the City Planning Commission because it has widespread implications for the city of Pittsburgh. On your way home later this afternoon, listen for The Drive at 5, the stories that are driving the news every weekday afternoon, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Man, and check out Colin Dunlap 2 to 6. My man puts a lot of effort into his broadcast every day.
He does. Really enjoy having him in the newsroom in the middle of the day, where he's sitting there blocking out his, what we call blocking out his program. Everything he talks about on the air has been thoroughly researched and plotted out. There's a plan. He really works hard at it.
He does.
More so than anyone I've worked with in the industry.
Yeah, he's and he lifts weights early. So.
Yeah, and his ratings show it.
He's a weight lifter. I've seen videos. I got to be honest. I really appreciate. I know Marty gets up and works out early.
Yes, he does.
He's always working on his show 24/7. And
his preparation style is very different.
But
from
he gets up and works out early, and so does Colin.
And I've never seen anybody who uses his phone more with sources than Marty does.
I mean,
it's just constant, almost nonstop.
I need to try to steal his phone to get his contacts downloaded. I mean,
there's only one that might be as good as his, and that's Schummer's.
Schummer
had that old phone. Remember, he had kept an old phone just because he didn't want to lose the Rolodex in it.
Right. He had a Rolodex burner phone. he truly did.
I mean, he could come up with a contact just in a matter of moments.
And Aaron, you've learned this in short order that, you know, getting that contact list is really important.
Yes. I have been, you know, whether it's on the weekend or just in the car, and I crack up sometimes because I answer random numbers.
Right.
Because I, you know, you send emails, you get connected, and when people get back to you, they're like, why are you answering that? I'm like, because 9 times out of 10, they're getting back to me. So it is. It's a big deal to keep those contacts.
It is. And coming up, One of the most practical things that you're going to start hearing a lot about is the Real ID. Yesterday was the 100-day countdown. Now, this has been booted since COVID.
I know. One time after another, right?
Multiple times. But they swear we're not moving it again. Now, what this is...
I got it, by the way.
You have your Real ID?
Yep.
If you want to travel domestically on an airplane, this is just inside the lower 48, you're going to have a Real ID or a passport to do so starting May 7th. So... I know a lot of people put it off. I was just at the DMV to get an updated driver's license at the end of the year. And I looked, and there was a lot of people there. You take a number like the old bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the gentleman standing behind the counter, I said, what else do I need to do to get my Real ID while I'm here just getting my license renewed? He said, well... you got to have this, 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 and this.
So you have to have your birth certificate, your social security, right? Proof of residency, this type of thing.
Yes, to get the Real ID, which, what do you have, a gold star in the upper right-hand corner?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
And this will be important.
Because now, you can't get on a plane without it once the deadline passes.
So
you got to have it. It's like a passport.
Yes. Now, if you have a passport, they have the passport cards, too, that you can utilize. We're going to sort through all this stuff. We have an expert from AAA.
Oh, good.
Who deals with all the legal affairs.
I'd like to find out how to expedite a passport. I hear that it still takes quite a long time.
While we're at it, maybe get a TSA PreCheck or those other things they do. Global reentry. I know Elliot told me about that down in Florida. You need a global... I'm like, where am I going?